Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning, and I invite any children who are here this morning to come on forward to help us make sense of this story from Exodus. I know that you've been studying Moses in your Sunday school, so maybe you can help us. Hi. You were first? You were first. You guys were amazing this morning. Wonderful. Okay. So there is something in child development that's called object permanence, which you probably don't know about exactly what that is, but your parents do, because when you were growing up, it was one of the things that we are told to look for to be sure that a child's brain is developing in the right way. So let's talk a little bit about object permanence. This is Kitty. Kitty is 46 years old, so she's pretty gross. Kitty was given to me on the day I was born by my daddy, and she was one of my loveys when I was a child. When I was a tiny little baby, like 3 months old, if Kitty was in my crib, and let's say she got covered by one of my blankets, I never thought about her again. A little three-month-old baby doesn't think, oh, Kitty's just there under the blanket, she's fine. I would cry and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry until one of my parents would come in and take the blanket off and, oh, there's Kitty. Isn't that amazing? So object permanence is when we as little children and big children can trust that when Kitty gets covered over, that she's still there. How many of you guys have loveys? So if your loveys get trapped under, yeah, look at all these adults raising their hands back there. You can't see that. So if your lovey gets hidden in your blankets, do you still believe that your lovey exists?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Frankie says no. Lovey's gone. Okay, so that's what we do with objects, with things. Now, we also do it with people, so I need somebody who's willing to hide under my chasuble. All right, who's that? How about Griff? All right, so Griff, let's pretend that you are a parent and you go in another room. There, okay, so Griff is in another room. And let's say that you guys are Griff and Skylar and you really, really, really want your parent who's in another room. Do you believe that he's in the other room? Yeah, but what do? If you really want him, do you just leave him alone and let your mom or dad do their work or cook dinner in peace? No. So what do? If your parents in another room and you want them?
You cry.
You cry. That's right. Yeah, or Viv said something else. What do you say? Mom, do you say it once? No. You say mom, 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 mom. Charlie, what do you say?
I say mommy.
Yeah, mommy. Okay, so very close. But eventually, your parent will come to you, right? You just have to be patient. So when we think about what happens in our story today in Exodus, we have the Hebrew people who have been traveling for a long time in the desert with their leader, Moses. And all of a sudden, he disappears up the mountain. And so they can't see him anymore. And they were really fearful out in the desert all by themselves with no leader. So for a little bit, they started calling Moses, Moses, God, Moses. But they never heard any response. So one thing that we as humans tend to do when we get really scared and we don't feel like anybody's listening to us, or we're really anxious and uncertain about something, is we start to act out. So like Westy said, we might cry. We might start crying and being super frustrated. Or we might start blaming each other. If you guys are missing your lovey, does anybody ever blame their sibling for taking it? Yes. So poor Kitty was ransomed in my childhood. My sister threw her away and then charged me $20 for me to get her back. So in my case, my sister actually did take my kitty. So we, as adults, when we're uncertain and we're scared, we can get angry, we can blame other people and pretend that it's their fault that Moses is gone, and we can cry. That's right. And so that's why in the scripture lesson, we hear about the stiff-necked people. They get stubborn and hard and angry and frustrated. You're going to order a truck in the mail?
A garbage truck.
Well, that sounds wonderful, Westy. So, you don't have one? I don't have one either. So when we get in that hard, tight place and we're blaming people, it can be really hard for us to listen for God, can it? So how can we make ourselves soft? We don't want to be stiff-necked, hard, stubborn people. We want to be soft. How?
Loveys
make us soft. That's right. Being with people and things that we love. What else makes us soft, Vivi?
We can do something that makes us calm down.
Right. Do something that makes us
ice
calm
cream.
Down. Like ice cream. That's so great. What are other things that we can do when we're feeling hard and stiff-necked and tight? What are other things we can do that can make us soft, Teo? You can apologize. What a beautiful thought.
And
yes.
We can have cotton candy.
And cotton candy. There are so many ways. Charlie?
Separate.
You can separate, yes. So if you're really tense and tight.
And we can play with toys.
Oh my, play with toys. We can separate. We can try to calm ourselves down so that we're not tipped, stiff, and tight-necked and all of that. So one of the lessons, can I tell the adults a quick story? Okay, because one of the lessons for us adults, there's a wonderful scholar of Yiddish literature named Alyssa Quint. She most recently taught at Columbia, and she has this beautiful phrase that the golden calf is the Hebrew people's response to anxiety. That when we are anxious and fearful, we try to control. We try to put structure around something. We want to do something to make us feel better. We can play with toys. We can calm ourselves down. But many of us try to build things.
And we can light up candles.
Light candles. Oh my gosh, that's a wonderful idea because candles make us calm.
And we can sing songs.
I need this guy with me all the time. So one of the ways that we can soften ourselves as adults came to me when I was listening to Krista Tippett's podcast on being. She was interviewing Juno Diaz, and he gave the most beautiful example of how our relationships are emaciated when we don't make ourselves vulnerable to each other. When I think it was Teo said, when we don't go to somebody and say, I'm sorry, I hurt you. Oh, that's so nice. Can you cover up? She gets cold. When we don't go to somebody and say, I'm scared, I'm fearful, I don't know, I want to act out in this uncertainty, and I need your help. Only in making ourselves vulnerable during times of uncertainty can we live into the richness and fullness of all of our relationships, not just with each other, but especially with God. Because God, of course, was always there. Even though Moses was up the mountain, even though they couldn't see God, God was always there. So wherever you are fearful and uncertain, kids, whenever you guys get scared and you feel stiff-necked and angry and tight, I hope that you can do whatever makes you calm and remember that God is always there, loving you, even if he feels up a mountain. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Oh, thanks, Westy.